And thank you so much again for all the a tremendous amount of work that has gone into this revival conference. And we really appreciate the tremendous the spirit of hospitality that has been shown to us, the care and concern from everybody. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us the privilege of coming and for trusting and trusting us with the pulpit, and don't take that lightly. Appreciate our Pastor giving us that opportunity. And thank you for all the meals, the hospitality, Pastor's house, and also Sister Victoria and Brother Emmanuel have looked after us very well as well, and I've been staying with them, and that's been a great blessing. And I hope and pray this won't be my last trip, but if we don't see you, if the rapture comes before that happens, we'll see you in heaven, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All the sermons from the weekend have been recorded, and we're going to make those available. So if you missed any or you'd like to share them with others, they will be made available. Let's turn our Bibles, please, tonight to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, as we finish off our revival weekend.
Psalm 27.
Psalm 27, and the title of our message tonight is One Passion. May God give us one passion. Passion for God. Okay. No worries. All right, we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 6. And you'll notice under the title, Psalm 27, it should say a Psalm of David.
Okay,
reading verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Notice these two words, please, in verse
4.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock.
And
now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
na ma bo enije afar wo ni intermedenu obato njum iyo obato ayeyi njum mama iraje.
Okay, we're going to take a moment now and pray as we look at this need to have one passion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us this evening. We thank you for how you have blessed us this weekend. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory for all that has taken place over these last few days. Lord, you in your mercy have done some wonderful things in our midst. Lord, we thank you for lives that have been challenged. Lord, we thank you for souls that have been saved. Lord, truly all the work and all the labours, it would be worth it if just one soul was saved. But Lord, we've seen a number of people saved. How we praise and thank you for that. But Lord, we recognise that tonight there's another opportunity for your hand to be upon us, another opportunity for your spirit to speak to our hearts. And so Lord, I pray that you would put your special touch now upon this last meeting of our revival weekend. Lord, that you would be the one passion of our lives. Lord, that we would seek after thee. And so Lord, we ask your blessing again now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You'll find in the Bible there are several examples of people who had one thing in their lives. And there are really three messages, and I've preached three messages on this theme. I'd love to preach all three to you tonight, but we'd be here for a long time if we did that. But you might like to write down the passage of Scripture and go and read it sometime. The first one is in Psalm 27 here, where we see David had one passion for God. And then the second one is found in Luke 10:38-42.
Na yungu mo ozikan ni de David ono onya akondo bi de ona no kon bodo yakopa no kiti na mo tie bi en yungu o Luke in sampanum.
And in Luke chapter 10 verse 38-42 you'll find there that Mary had one thing in her life too, one thing that she aimed at, and that was that she sat at the feet of Jesus. She had one priority. And then in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10-14 we have the example of the Apostle Paul, who had one pursuit. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." And we as God's people need to have the spirit of the one thing. We need that one passion that David had, Psalm 27. We need that one priority of Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus to commune with our Lord. And we need that one pursuit we see in the Apostle Paul's life, Philippians 3, this one thing I do, he was pursuing after the Lord. But tonight we look at Psalm 27 and the need to have one passion for God.
Nanda
You know, would to God that we would be a people who were characterized by a thirst and a hunger after God. And we find David is a wonderful example to us of this. So we're going to study our text tonight under three main points. As we look at this theme of one passion for God. The first thing I want you to notice in verse 1 to 3 is David's confidence. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so in verse 1 through 3 here we have the language of faith. David was a man of faith, the man who had confidence in God. And I want you to see that David had confidence, David had faith in three areas. In verse 1 we see that David had faith in the person of God. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Isn't that the words of assurance tonight?
He says,
"Of whom shall I be afraid?" David had no reason to fear because he said, "God is my light and God is my salvation." May I encourage you tonight that we as God's people have nothing to fear. If we have been saved, we can say like David, "Of whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" We need not fear when God is our salvation. Now you notice that David asks some questions in this verse. He says, "Whom shall I fear?" And then he says, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now these are not the questions of doubt. These are questions of victory. These are questions that come from the assurance of faith. David is not doubting his salvation. David's questions are not questions of doubt. These are questions that come from a heart that is assured of the greatness of his salvation. We find a similar language, don't we, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can say with David tonight, God is my salvation, the Lord is my salvation, of whom shall I fear, of whom shall I be afraid?
Inafi yabaka inu asamben, so yankubon wahenafa, wana na otenyan, ono a wankam na kasaneba, no oyin mae wanyani inantino, obayaden, na onkafa adina akano adumhen, wana watumuzi bribi edu wana yankubon asanu eyuwano, ya ogubim in yankubon, wana yin ya, O before Christ Jesus, we name them sorry be a woman. Yeah, what in your company, even on a soul in the Odimahan. One of that's when you have to Christ John, and we hear an hour and what so, and now a how, and now a come, and now a dejao, and now a manze, and now a poor. Dambra, what's on there? Oh, who is he walking and dead, walking and dying now? What boon and there, and Gona, what book one? Now, so ye in Amunia, Namia, or the Yano Dizzy in Punyum, Bordo. Nami Dizzy and Pade, Ubu and now, and now a buffo, and now a tunfo, and now, or what she say, and now, or Baba, and now, and what's unfo, and now, cron, and now, boon, and now, a body biara, room tomb, and so young in the sea, Yankopano Donna, or when you never had Jesus Christ in the moon. In today, in Bury, Yanga, the Bobo Mayakade, Yankopan, only Makan, and Ye Mokaji, Wana, and the Muslim.
So David had faith in the person of God.
In the David, or Yaji, or Yankopanu.
Listen tonight, the reason why we don't need to be in doubt about our salvation is because the same God that saves us tonight, praise God, is the same God who keeps us saved.
Amen. Now, you can see that all you say is, it seems that you're not going to be able to do anything.
If my salvation depended upon me, I would have great cause for fear.
Sir, you can see that you're not going to be able to do anything.
Or if you're not saved here tonight, you have great cause to be afraid. But if you're saved tonight, you don't have to fear hell, you don't have to fear the devil, you don't have to fear the one day that you'll stand in judgment, because God is your salvation, and you can say like David, of whom shall I fear?
Now so that it won't go down, when you dare you throw up a some gym, when you just throw up a some, when you dare it be seen there, who are watching them, never mean to be by you, no I can dare. One number was three.
Whom God saves, he keeps. You might be just new to the Christian faith. Maybe you were just saved over this weekend. Let me tell you, if you truly trust in Christ as your Savior, He'll keep you saved. He'll keep you saved.
Amen.
What a wicked thing to teach that you are saved by grace and then you have to be kept by words.
Now what I share, they on your mum yeah, so we back out there. Now so if you might be another crime.
I happen to believe tonight that what Jesus accomplished on the cross was enough to keep me saved.
Amen. And the thing, meeting today, but you said Christ, oh yeah, what happened,
when Jesus was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished a full and complete salvation, past, present, future.
Now, you never had Jesus Christ, I won't attend you, no, come there, maybe, let's say, you never had Jesus Christ, on my end, in Quadia, Otimuyo,
and so like David, we can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Can you see David's confidence?
Faith
in the person of God. Listen, when we begin to understand something about the majesty and the power of our Savior, when we begin to understand something of what happened at the cross, we have no need to fear about our salvation. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I am thankful tonight that whom God saves, he keeps. Do you think the Lord Jesus reached down and plucked you out of the miry pit just to let Satan take you back there again? No, to him says, "I'm safe in the arms of Jesus." And so David had confidence, faith in the person of God. But look in verse 2, he had also faith from past victories. He says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." And so David knew what it was to have enemies as the king of Israel, hostile enemies that were seeking his destruction. He said, "These enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh." The picture in the words here is of a hostile beast trying to tear it, or trying to stalk its prey, to tear it to pieces. But David said, as his enemies came, they wanted my destruction, they stumbled and they fell. And one thing we know is that we have a fearsome enemy, don't we? And we face some pretty fierce battles, spiritual battles in the Christian life and ministry. But here God had come to the aid of David, and God had foiled the attempts of the enemy to destroy David. And one thing that comes through the Psalms again and again is that God is our defense. We can't stand in the battle that we're in without God's grace and God's power. No pastor and his family can make it in their own strength, standing with the forces of darkness against them, as it were, but with God and his power and his defense, they can. So David had confidence, faith in the person of God, faith from past victories. David could look back and say, "I've experienced God's power and God's defense in my life." And so this theme comes through the Psalm, Psalm 7:10, "My defense is of God." Psalm 59:9, "God is my defense."
na njum itu edunum akro ni chema akro so osta yakopon nyema bambo.
Psalm 59:16, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble.
Na yaba jichem je sarate awu yakopon awu aye mabambo nyimu gwa akwabio akro akopon so.
Psalm 59:17, God is my defense.
Na yaba jichem je sono so osta yakopon nyema bambo.
Psalm 62:2, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved.
Na yatan yehu wa hada yakopon no ye debi ne bambo fo ti onzumja.
And what these past victories do is they provide a foundation, they provide a foothold for faith.
Na ma debi nuku nyuma na debi je chumi oma ijizi no ekwatu.
If you're saved tonight, you're no doubt you can look back and you can see where God has given you victories in your life. Victories over Satan, victories over temptation, victories over sin. And those past victories strengthen your faith. You say, the God that was faithful to me 2 years ago, the God that was faithful to me in that battle 3 years ago, is the same God who's going to see me through this battle today. You remember David? We talk, this is a psalm of David, isn't it? But you remember how David, when he was when he took on Goliath?
And I say, David, onye Goliath, what kind of a
and he came before Saul, and Saul said, thou art not able, thou art but a youth. But David could point back in his life and say, listen, Saul, the lion, the bear, God gave you victory over the lion and the bear, and because I know God gave you victory over the lion and the bear, I know the same God is going to give me victory over this enemy. And so David had faith from past victories. Look at verse 3. He had faith for prospective victories or future victories. He says, though an host should encamp against me, this is now looking into the future, in my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now the word host here refers to an army or a multitude of enemies. And so David said, even if a host of enemies, if I'm surrounded and I have multitudes of enemies coming against me, he said, I'm not going to be afraid.
Now David more kind there. Simple, a tough dumbu, what you must see, umpa enemy, David Musroda.
You know why David did not need to fear the host of the enemies?
And I mean take that David no need to also down a tough dumbu.
That's because David served the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Understand that.
And you know, sometimes as we look at the battlefield before us as Christians, it can seem that the numbers are all on the enemy's side, but let me tell you tonight, we don't need to fear Satan and his demons and the forces of darkness, because we have the Lord of hosts. We have heaven's armies behind us in the work of God.
Now 245
times in the Bible, God is called the Lord of hosts.
Now,
And sometimes we can get so consumed with the host of enemies before us, and we need to just take time to look up and see that we serve the Lord of hosts. Listen to me, we may be few in number, but we have, it's better to be few in number and have God than be in the majority without Him. I said that, didn't I, the other night? You know, when Judah was invaded by Sennacherib, king of Assyria, King Hezekiah said this. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. Listen, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. There be more with us than with them. Why? Because we have the God, we have our God to help us. Now you say tonight, Pastor, how can I know that God is on my side? Because there's a lot of people who think that God is just there to just come to, just to do whatever they want. I call thunder upon this person over here. Listen tonight, it's not about God joining us, it's about us joining Him. And here's how you can know that God is definitely on your side. You get on His side. Listen to the words of 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. That's how you can know that God is on your side. You align yourself in the battle with God. Listen to me tonight, there is a battle raging for this church, and it's about time that some of you stop sitting on the fence and align yourself with God. Align yourself with the Word of God. Align yourself with the truth. That's where you should be standing. In Exodus 32:26, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" You want to know tonight that God is with you? Very simple. You get on God's side. You align yourself with God's side on the battle. Then you can know for sure God's with you and God's going to help you. I wouldn't want to align myself against the truth, would you? Because one thing I can guarantee you tonight is this book's going to prevail. The truth will prevail. One thing I can tell you, if you've read, one thing you can know, if you've read the end of the book, we know that King Jesus is going to come riding on his chariot, we know that, on his horse, sorry, and we know that King Jesus is going to win. We know the end of, we know the outcome of the battle, don't we? It says Satan's going to lose. At the moment, we look around and it appears like Satan's winning, but let me tell you tonight, Satan's going to lose. So how about tonight you step over the line and align yourself with God? How about tonight you stop sitting on the fence and you've been challenged over this weekend and you're still holding off and holding off? It's time to align yourself. So David had faith for prospective victories. Look secondly tonight at David's concentration. Verse
4.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
And
so we've looked at David's confidence, now we look at David's concentration.
One
thing have I desired of the Lord, notice several things about David's concentration here. Notice the pursuit of God's presence. One thing have I desired. You know, the problem with many of us tonight is our hearts are divided hearts. We desire and we seek after
many things.
But would to God, God would raise up some men and women out of this church who would have one passion, one passion, one passion for God. David was in pursuit of God. David said, I'm going to seek after God. You know, if we're saved, God wants us to go on as his children, to know him more, to love him more, to be closer to him and closer to him. That's why in the Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 4, the bride cries out to the bridegroom, draw me, we will run after thee. That should be the prayer of our heart. Lord, I need you to draw me that I might run after thee. I recognize that even there's not even the desire, and I don't even have enough desire to seek after you. Lord, would you draw me that I might run after thee? That's why David prayed in Psalm 119:32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So David was a man who was focused, a man who was concentrated. He had that one passion. And he was pursuing the presence of God. But we see also that David was focused on the place of his presence, not just the pursuit of God's presence, but the place of his presence. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now understand that in the Old Testament, David is making a reference to the tabernacle, which was the Jewish place of worship.
Now,
And God manifests his presence in a special way in the tabernacle. And David said, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the house of God, the place of singing, the place of sacrifice, the place where the scriptures are read. David said, I want to be near the Lord. I want to be in the house of God with the Lord's people and with the Lord, with the Lord's presence.
David said,
we can see a principle that applies to us as God's people in the New Testament. We do not come to a Jewish temple, that was in the Old Testament. For the Jewish people. But we have the house of the Lord in the New Testament, the local New Testament church. And did you know that there are special promises that God has given about the local church and God meeting with us? Matthew 18:20, which is in the context of the local church, says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Now Matthew can then.
So here we have David as an Old Testament saint saying, I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be where God's presence is. I want to meet with the Lord. I want to be in the house of the Lord, the place of singing, the place where the scriptures are read, the place of sacrifice and giving. I want to be amongst the people of God and experience the presence of God. Is that your passion tonight, to be in the house of the Lord? Listen to me, it's important for us to walk with God in our homes and our families, but there is a special blessing that you can only be received by coming to the local church.
See, right?
And may I say tonight that when you miss church, you miss out.
Say ambassador.
Now I understand there's going to be times when illness maybe prevents us or there's an emergency, but may I say tonight that most of our excuses for being out of church are simply revealing a heart that does not long after God's presence and God's blessing as it should. Don't you, like David, long to be in the house of God where there's the singing and the praise of God and the reading of the, and the preaching of the scriptures and the place of sacrifice? You want to be amongst the people of God and know the presence of God? How many of you would say, I'll be blessed by the meetings this weekend? Imagine if you didn't come. You would have missed out on the blessing of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. When you are forced to miss church due to serious illness or an emergency, do you feel excited or disappointed? Some people are so thrilled just to have any excuse to stay out of church. You know, I'm very thankful that tonight that I was raised in a home. We got up Sunday morning. We never got up Sunday morning and said, I wonder if we'll go to church today.
Now,
I'm thankful that I grew up in a home, but when it came Sunday night, there was never a question in our minds, are we going to go to church tonight? I'm thankful that it came Wednesday night for Wednesday night prayer meeting. There was never any doubt in our minds as to where we would be on Wednesday night. But some Christians don't decide whether they're going to church until Sunday morning, or maybe even two minutes before starting time. Listen, you should, like David, have a passion to be in the house of God. So encouraged by our deacon at home, at our church. Sometimes he'll text me on a Sunday morning and say, I'm so looking forward, I'm so excited about church today, Pastor. And I think, man, I'm excited that you're excited. But sometimes we come to church and we sit there and we just go through the motions. Listen to me. When we come to church, we come to meet with God. Why would you want to miss out on the blessing of God? Listen, you need to settle once and for all in your mind that everything else is negotiable. Church is not negotiable. Watching your favorite sports match, that can be dispensed with, that's negotiable. Being a part of a sports football club, that's negotiable, but being part of a church is not negotiable. Could I step on a few toes, go a little bit further and say that family function that's been organised that conflicts with church is negotiable, church is not negotiable. Family of God comes before human family. Jesus Christ comes before family. You say, well, I don't accept that. I think it's impossible to be a Christian and not subscribe to what you're saying, Pastor. I didn't say it. Jesus said, if you're not prepared to put me first before family, you cannot be my disciple.
Now, go to my head. I'm going to go to my head. I'm going to go to my head. You're not going to go. You have to say,
he says, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. So David had a passion for the pursuit of God's presence, the place of his presence, and now we notice thirdly the pleasure of his presence. Look at verse 4 and the phrase, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The pleasure of his presence. You know, aren't we surrounded in our lives, as we look out into the world, with ugliness, sadness, destruction?
And now, so where
But isn't it a blessing, as the hymn writer says, to turn our eyes upon Jesus? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Now,
to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, have you thought about who God is? Isn't that a beautiful thing?
And that the world is
God of power, God of wisdom, God of might. The God who created all things and sustains all things. Isn't it wonderful at times to just turn our thoughts heavenward a bit and just consider who God is, the greatness of God? God of love, God of mercy, God of grace. Oh, to look to the cross and see God's love displayed. Behold the beauty of the Lord.
Oh, to when you are
You know, never underestimate the power of concentration. What really captivates your heart and mind will have a profound influence upon your life. And would to God tonight, their hearts would be captivated for Christ.
Oh, that
Not captivated for career, not captivated for the things of this world, not captivated for the entertainments of this world, but hearts that are captivated with Christ. Second Corinthians 3:18 says, But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Was such a young cause, via Corona, Corona Arabium.
And so we see David's concentration, his focus, the pursuit of his presence. The place of his presence, the house of the Lord. The pleasure of his presence, to behold the beauty of the Lord. But notice now the praying in his presence to inquire in his temple. Verse 4. To inquire means to seek God's will and God's mind for guidance and direction. Do you know what we tend to do as Christians? We make our plans, then we say, God, please bless my plans. David wasn't like that. He came into God's presence, and in God's presence, he inquired. He said, Lord, what's your mind? Lord, what's your will? Lord, you give me direction. That's the correct attitude for the Christian life, isn't it? Some of you have many plans tonight. Let me ask you this. Have you asked God? Have you inquired of God what His mind and His will is for your life? That's why we sing that hymn, Is Your All on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have you ever stopped to actually answer that question in your heart?
Is my all on the altar? Have I come to God and said, Lord, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I lay it at your feet. Lord, what is your mind? What is your will? What is your direction for me?
And now,
some of you young people have plans for careers, and you're hoping God will bless those plans, and it could be that that's God's will, but maybe you should be like David and come and inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, here it is, here's my hopes, here's my dreams, but Lord, what's your mind, what's your will?
We find that this was the habit of David's life. Let me give you some examples. 1 Samuel 23:2, David inquired of the Lord.
First Samuel 23:4,
then David inquired of the Lord yet again.
First Samuel 30:8,
and David inquired at the Lord. And I could give you more verses. 2 Samuel 2:1, chapter 5, verse 19, verse 23, chapter 21, verse 1. So we see here that the presence of God is both the place of worship, and it's also the place where we bring our requests to the Lord, where we seek His guidance and His will. This is a pattern we see in David's life. Before he goes off into battle, he inquires of the Lord, is this your will, Lord? And so we see David's praying in his presence to inquire in his temple. So we've looked at David's confidence, his concentration, looked thirdly and lastly at David's comfort. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now time has gone, but let's just look just briefly here at David's comfort. He had comfort because of the protection of God, verse 5. David said in the time of trouble, he knew God would hide him in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Colossians 3 tells us that our lives are hid with Christ in God. And that's a place of security, isn't it? And a place of safety. This was comfort to David. He said, I know in times of trouble I have a refuge in my God. I know that God is going to be my hiding place.
Now,
He says, he shall set me up upon a rock. This reference to the rock is very likely referring to these rock fortresses or these rocky caves that were so common in Judea. David knew what it was to hide in some of those rocky caves and find safety. When he was fleeing from Saul, David said, my God is like that place of refuge for me. God is going to set me up on a rock, a place of safety away from the spears and the arrows and the swords. And so we too have comfort, don't we, knowing we have the protection of God. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. David also had comfort because of the power of God. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Again, this is the language of victory, isn't it? David knew that God's power was there and that God would come to his defense in the battle. And then we notice David's praise of God. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. What should our response be to the goodness of God? We should praise Him. And singing is an important part of our praise. He says, I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
There's
a lot of talk today about praise and worship. But the truth is, a lot of that praise and worship is focused on me. It's all about me. It's all about me.
No, quarry there. My couple friend, I lay in here. Oh, sorry. You know, I'm just like I worship. Why the way you do what I'm on? Why the way I'm putting the
worship? But true worship and praise is focused on God.
Yeah. Amen. Now, so I lay in here, but I'm sorry.
We have cause to praise the Lord, don't we? He lifted us up out of that miry pit. He set our feet upon a rock. And he's put a new song. Not the old song that sounds like the world, a new song with a different sound in our mouths.
Now, we know, or the young people, or the accent, you know, in your damn, if you know, 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 you know.
As we close tonight, may I ask you, what is your passion in life?
Yeah, you're going to be maybe some. One phone job, it will be asking money again.
Is it money?
I know it's the guy.
Is it the entertainment of this world?
Popularity?
Another budget thing. Self-promotion? The things of this life? Or will you tonight resolve by God's grace to have, like David, just one passion? One passion. Passion for God.
Yeah.
maybe tonight someone needs to take a step to align themselves in a battle with God. And you've been challenged over this weekend. Listen, God is giving you one final chance tonight during His revival services to step over the line and align yourself with God. Maybe some of you need to come and surrender and say, Lord, the truth is my heart's been drawn away after this thing over here, and Lord, I surrender that to you tonight, and I'm, by God's grace, I'm making you the passion of my life. You know what I was just thinking today? The thoughts have just been in my mind. I'm so glad that God helped me to give my life over to Him. What a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God and see hearts touched. What a privilege. May I say tonight that if you don't surrender all to Christ, I can guarantee you in the long run you will regret it. You have regrets. But if you surrender all to Jesus, I can promise you, you will never regret doing that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that when I was 16 years old, at that pivotal moment when I was about to backslide and go out into the world, God got a hold of my heart. I'm telling you, God has blessed me so much. And I'm telling you, it is a privilege to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord. Young people don't settle for anything less tonight. Lost people don't settle for
anything.
How many passions do you have? Two, three, four, more. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Some of you are trying and it doesn't work. You've got one foot in church, one foot in the world, and you think that somehow you can make that work. No, what you need tonight, like David, is one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. Let's all bow for prayer. Please close your eyes as Pastor comes to close.